Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Dr. Laurie Carter has been the president of Shippensburg University for the past year. Dr. Carter made history as the first woman and the first African-American to serve as the university's president. In Smart Talk's continuing series of conversations with leaders of Central Pennsylvania colleges and universities, today we'll talk about her vision for Shippensburg, preparing students for life after school, and the university's place in the community. Dr. Laurie Carter, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Good to see you, Scott.
If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can leave a question or a comment on WITF's Facebook page, on Twitter. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So welcome to the program again, and we always look forward to having these kind of conversations. But you're a little bit different in that a lot of times when I do have these conversations, it's with a brand new college or university president. You've actually been at Shippensburg for a year. So I'll start by asking your observations during that year.
Well, once of all, I have found Shippensburg University to be a family. And when I interviewed there, that's what everyone talked about, the Ship family. And very quickly, I was embraced into that family. And together, we have been able to set a vision for the university, which is really wonderful because everyone is really working towards moving the university forward.
But when you say a family, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of college presidents who would say, well, we're a family. We're working in the same direction. What sets Shippensburg apart?
Well, Shippensburg University had experienced enrollment declines for several years. And when I interviewed, I heard from everyone from groundskeepers to faculty to Council of Trustees the concerns about enrollment. I also heard that there were concerns about our relationship with the community and the fact that they felt that a large part of our issue had to do with the fact that we weren't telling our story in a compelling way. So even before I arrived, there was a sense of common purpose and common goals, as is the case with any family. Now, there are always disagreements about how one solves those issues, but the fact that everyone understood that we needed to change the dialogue about the university and how we were going about doing things so that we could increase our enrollment was really a gift for me.
When you say that you didn't say you had a bad relationship, but could have a better relationship with the community, it's always something I'm interested in is the kind of relationship that the institution has with its community. So we'll talk about that. But when you say there were some things missing, I know the transparency is one of your priorities from what I've read of your background, but what was missing between the university, the community, you know, why you were losing students, all this? I know that's a far-reaching question there, and I will kind of drill down to some specifics.
Well, the relationship with the community was not fractured. There were already strong ties with both the township and the borough, the region and the state. But there was a sense that there could be more, that the relationship could be stronger. And that's what we've really been working on. So I have invited folks from the town into the university, and we've had conversations about how we can strengthen those relationships. We've included folks from the town and the region in dialogue about the future of the university. We held a breakfast with business leaders from Franklin County to get a sense of how we can better align what we were doing with the business community. Things of that nature are really important to how universities need to function in the future.
Colleges and universities, especially one like Shippensburg that is located in a rural area, are often looked upon as anchor institutions in their communities. And I'm not just talking about the town of Shippensburg, the borough of Shippensburg, but Franklin County, central Pennsylvania overall. Do you see Shippensburg as an anchor institution, and what does that mean?
Well, it is an anchor institution. It provides education and employment for a large constituent from that region. But more importantly, it serves the entire state of Pennsylvania. And that's what folks need to think about. The idea of regional institutions only serving their so-called service region, those days are gone. We are now serving the entire state, and we have to serve the entire state. So that means strengthening relationships with not just our local community, but also our region and folks across the state. And we've been doing some of that work in the past year, really reaching out to folks that are further away from us so they have an understanding of the value that Shippensburg University plays in the future of the state of Pennsylvania.
How much of an economic driver is Shippensburg?
Well, I think it's a huge economic driver. When you think of the number of Shippensburg University graduates who are leaders across the state of Pennsylvania and just employees in industry across the state from one end of the state to the other, we are a major player in the economy of and the future of this state.
Do you have any figures at hand as to what kind of economic impact the university has on the local community and maybe what you just described?
I don't have the figures with me, but I certainly have them at my fingertips on the computer on my desk. We are talking about this more and more on campus. As a matter of fact, I've recently engaged a chief strategy officer who's part of her role is to helping align the university more closely with workforce needs so that we understand that as we're moving forward, we're responding to the idea that parents and students are looking for a student to not just graduate from SHIP, but also graduate with a job that's going to prepare them for a fulfilling future. So we understand that desire on the part of families, but we also understand that as a regional public institution, we have a responsibility to the state to produce employees who are prepared to go into the workforce and thrive.
Just this week, it was announced that Shippensburg is opening a new school of engineering. Talk about that. That sounds like exactly what you just touched on, that this is something that fulfills a need for the careers, the jobs of the future.
Absolutely. As I talk with employers across the state, engineering is a real need here in Pennsylvania. And in order for Pennsylvania to be prepared 5-10 years from now for its workforce needs, it needs many more engineers than are being produced. SHIP will be providing high quality engineering programs. All of them will be accredited programs, so you're getting the same quality program that you would get at a more expensive institution, and you're getting it for a public price. And one of the things we do is we really work hard at connecting students with employers while they are students. So we have internship opportunities, we have mentoring opportunities. Students will be prepared to step out of SHIP and into the workplace at the highest level.
Now, I have to ask this question because, again, I know that most college and university presidents would say the exact same thing. How is SHIP different?
Well, we're different because we're being very intentional about it. As I said, we are inviting employers onto our campus to see what we're doing in the programs. We are going out to employers and we're saying, what are your needs? We are then connecting our students with the employer, either in a job shadowing opportunity or in a newly created mentoring program. Our goal is to provide all juniors at Shippensburg University with a professional mentor who can really prepare them for the needs of the profession. We want them to, yes, have the academic skills that are necessary, but we also want them to have the soft skills. They need to know how to work as a team in the workplace. They need to know how to dress. They need to know what they should do when they go out to lunch with folks. That's the work that we're doing, and we're being very intentional about it because we understand that if our students are not well prepared, they're not going to be employed at the level that we think they should be employed.
The soft skills, I hear that so often from employers that there are, and I don't want to say just young people, but that that is something that is missing, even as something which would seem as simple as showing up at work on time. So students coming out of high school, they're not familiar or they need some work in those soft skills?
Absolutely. Students coming out of high school are accustomed to being told exactly when to be at a place, what to do when they're in that place, when to leave that place, and when to go to the next place. As you and I know, in the professional world, things are very different. There's a start time, but everything else can be pretty fluid. And just yesterday, I was at a scholarship reception talking with a group of freshmen, and they talked about how challenging the transition can be for some of their peers. Now, these were our high-achieving students, so many of these don't have transition issues. But even they were saying, you know, the idea that we have so much space in our schedule and so much flexibility is something that they have to learn how to navigate because they haven't been able to do that before in high school.
What about academically? Are students coming to Shippensburg their first year, are they prepared?
They are prepared. There are always students at the top end and students at the bottom end. And so the preparation varies, but the students are prepared to come to college. Some, if you look at the stats, and not just at SHIP, but across the country, are not necessarily prepared to graduate from college. So at SHIP, the first thing we do with our students is talk about the fact that they're not there to celebrate the fact that they got into college. They're there to graduate from college.
That's not being accepted to Shippensburg University. It's reason to celebrate to begin with, but that is not the goal.
That is correct. That is correct. And it's really important for families to understand that. Yes, it is wonderful to celebrate high school graduation and college acceptance. Our goal is to make sure they graduate and go on to a fulfilling life.
I want to talk about, you brought up so many issues and I'm jumping around on you, touching on them, but your vision for the school, you've been there for a year now. What's your vision for Shippensburg?
Well, my vision has really been formed out of dialogue with members of the community at the university and beyond. We have four key priorities at the university, and the first is what you will hear from every other university president, and that is student success. But as I said, student success at SHIP is not just about being successful there. It's being successful beyond there. And if we're doing our job well, our students will enter SHIP, they will retain, graduate, and then they will go on to a fulfilling life. That is student success. The second of those is how we tell our story. And that really has to do with what I talked about earlier and the fact that folks, when you say Shippensburg University, will sometimes say, well, tell me about that place because they don't know much about it. So we have started to tell our story in a more compelling way, using video, using social media, really going out in different places around the state, just talking about what we're doing at Shippensburg University and why it's such a great place for young people to be educated. The third is our relationship with our community. Because once again, a university should not just exist in a place and not be connected to it. And so we are really strengthening the relationship with our local community, the regional community, and the state. That's very important for us in fulfilling our role to the state as a state institution. And the fourth is an umbrella, and that is quality. Everything we do at Shippensburg University will be of quality. Every communication, every interaction a student has at the university needs to be of quality. And then when our students graduate, they will understand what that means so that when they go into the workforce, folks will say, I just hired a SHIP person, and boy, is that person outstanding.
That perception is very important amongst employers. Because I've talked with headhunters, for example, or you know, prospective employers who say that, well, there are certain institutions, certain colleges and universities that we know that when we're interviewing this person that or hiring this person, that they've had a quality education. So how do you get that message out that Shippensburg equals quality?
Well, the best way to get it out is the work of our graduates, our alumni. And Shippensburg alumni are all over this state doing incredible work. But the other way to do it is to invite folks onto campus and see the work that we're doing there and to meet some of our students and how our students meet them. Once again, it goes back to the students understanding the expectations beyond Shippensburg University. So if we're preparing students for quality, we're treating our students to be prepared to really present themselves with quality, we can't go wrong.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Our guest today is Dr. Laurie Carter, president of Shippensburg University. If you have a question about Shippensburg, about higher education, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. We are at SmartTalkWITF on Twitter. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. You mentioned losing or student population, that there have been students, that the population, and this is not unique to Shippensburg University. This is a trend that has been happening across the country at a lot of schools, especially a lot of the public universities here in Pennsylvania, that not as many students have been applying. Student population, you've been losing students. First of all, why and what do you do to turn it around? Why is it important that you turn it around?
Well, the when you look at the demographics of high school graduates in the state of Pennsylvania, there is a decline. And that decline is expected to continue. There will be a slight increase in a few years, but then it will go back down again. So the number of students graduating from high school within the state is smaller than it has been in the past. And so one would expect there would be a decline somewhere as a result of that. At SHIP, that decline did occur, but I am happy to report that this year our numbers are up. We received more applications and more confirmations of new students than we did last year, and so we are trending and moving in the right direction. And is that the right move, the right thing to do for every university? I can't say that. Every university has to right size itself. And we are right-sizing ourselves because we know that we should have a larger share of the high school graduation population, despite the fact that it's declining. Shippensburg University is not unique in seeing this decline, but what we're doing to increase that population is really, it goes back to those four priorities I talked about before. We are talking with folks about how committed we are to student success, and we're not paying lip service to it. We're in meaningful ways, we have committed ourselves to the retention of students. And that retention is really towards the goal of graduation. So this year, we opened a student success center, which is a one-stop shop for students who are interested in tutoring, who are having challenges academically, who just need some more assistance with financial aid or registration questions. So they have one building they can go to and have all of those questions answered. So they're not going to different places around the campus, which can be discouraging to students. We also survey a fairly large first-gen population, so having to go from place to place can be overwhelming, particularly for those students. And we want to make the college transition process as easy as possible. Students are there to get an education. They shouldn't be bogged down with bureaucracies. And so we're being very intentional about those things as well.
First gen, meaning students going to first in their family to go to college. I'm going to ask a simple mathematics question. I ask, why it was important that you did not lose students and that you retain students. Right now, Shippensburg has around 6,000 students from the figures that I've seen. Simple mathematics question. I'm sure you have a budget that you have to meet. If you do not meet your goal, and I don't know whether you have a goal for a certain number of students, does that mean that other people have to pay for it or you don't meet your budget? Meaning tuitions go up or somehow you have to find that money.
Well, what it means generally is that we have to cut things out of the budget. And also sometimes tuition goes up as well. The university does not set the tuition, so that's a number that we
state
also
system
don't,
higher education.
Exactly. We don't have control over that. So budget cuts can result in a reduction in services that are really important to the retention, persistence, and graduation of students. So we want to avoid that. So making budget numbers that are consistent with the quality of the service we want to provide to students is important.
You talked about quality and that the students and their parents, their families would recognize that. But let's face it, there are some other things that attract students to an institution. Nowadays, you see a lot of new dormitories, you see a lot of new buildings, there are a lot of activities outside of the academics, and this is something that when you're competing, because you are competing for students, when you're competing, that this is a way that you have to compete. So how do you do that? Because those things are costly.
They are. We do it very carefully and ever mindful of what's really important. So we keep the focus on the students. If the students absolutely need new housing, then you'll see universities providing that, and SHIP did that several years ago. For me, the focus is really on providing students with an academic experience that's going to benefit them. And so sometimes that means that we have to look at some of the physical facilities and balance that with the programmatic needs that students have. We're not in a position to build a lot of new buildings, so we're repurposing buildings at SHIP. The new Student Success Center is in a remodeled residence hall that prior to my arrival was slated for demolition. We're not interested in wasting money in ways that are not going to serve students. We are going to do what we have to do for students, but do it in the most judicious manner.
What is tuition at Shippensburg this year? And I will tell our audience a little bit. Dr. Carter warned me ahead of time. She's at the end of a sinus infection. So thank you very much for at the end of an illness, agreeing to come on the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
I had to press the cough button for a second there.
We do have cough buttons. Everybody loves the cough button.
Tuition is around $22,000. And that's tuition, room, and board all in. So that is the cost of attendance.
For a public university that is probably in line with a public university, but it's still $22,000. Affordability is an issue for a lot of students, for a lot of families, and there are many that look at even $22,000 and say, okay, yes, it's a lot less than, say, a private institution, but how am I going to afford that? And I don't want to leave school with a lot of student debt. What can we do to make higher education more affordable?
There are several things that we can do to make it more affordable. One is to educate families about all the options available to them through either the financial aid process or through the scholarship process. The other is to make sure we are as efficient as we can at universities so that we can keep the costs as low as possible. And then there's another area that the privates know about and have been utilizing for many, many years, and that's really fundraising and development and support. There are corporations, there are private individuals who can support state-funded education, but think because it's state-funded that we don't need the support. Well, we do need the support. States are facing the same problems that other people are facing, and their priorities are stretched in many different directions. So as funding has decreased to higher education, we, as a state-funded institution, have to look for funding from other places. So if folks would consider supporting a place like Shippensburg University instead of supporting a place that has many more resources, it would help students who are really looking for access to higher education.
Do you have an endowment?
We do have an endowment.
How much is in it?
Not as much as we need to be in it. And we have annual fundraising, and we are not raising as much as we need to raise. And as someone who comes from a private institution, I can tell you, I know there are resources out there and folks who want to be connected to quality that could support a place like Shippensburg University if they only knew more about it. And that's why opportunities like this are really important for us, because our students are just as valuable and are contributing just as much as students coming from a place that may be more prestigious, but we're not as well known.
When you say not as much, a number, can you give me that?
I can.
Would you?
Yes. Our endowment is below $10,000.
Below $10,000?
Yes, it is.
Why are you hesitant to give me that number?
Well, actually, no. Our endowment is around 40.
As good as...
Yes, it is. It's around $40
million. $40
million.
Okay. I was wondering where you were coming from. I know. Yeah, I was going to say. I was wondering about that.
It's around $40 million. Our foundation works really hard at raising money for our students. And as I said, just yesterday, I was at a scholarship reception for our students. And that reception was really the result of the work of our foundation. Shippensburg University's foundation has been more successful than any other in the state system, and we're very proud of that relationship. But as I said, as priorities have shifted, as higher ed has shifted, the needs have shifted as well.
I'm putting you on the spot with this one, but Elizabethtown College, which is a private institution, announced earlier this week that they were cutting tuition by a third, from $46,000 down to $32,000. But there is a caveat that they would not offer as much financial aid. Now, I don't know whether, you know, there are other colleges and universities that have done that. But in this region, that is new. And it's something when you hear the news and hear the headline that cutting tuition by a third. Is that something that you would consider, other institutions would consider or could consider?
Well,
I mean, again, you're in a different situation in that you are the Pennsylvania state system of higher education sets a lot of the rules and the tuitions and all that. But I guess I'm talking in generalities.
Mm-hmm. So, and not to get into the weeds with it, but private institutions operate in a different way than public institutions very often. There's something called tuition discounting. And so they say that their tuition is X amount. They then provide X amount of scholarship, and that scholarship is the discount. So what I'm assuming Elizabethtown has done is they're now saying, we're not going to discount as much. We're simply going to lower the tuition for everyone. What that will mean is that some folks will get much reduced scholarship, but they're talking about the same amount of money. So while it is great PR, I don't know that it's hugely different than what was being done before. But well done on the marketing.
Let's take a call from David in Tower City. David, you're on the air. Look, I lost David. David's question was, his daughter had applied to Shippensburg. How much financial aid do you give to valedictorians and salutatoriums?
Salutatorians.
There we go.
So scholarship is unique to an individual, but there are governor scholarships in the state of Pennsylvania, and as a valedictorian, I'm sure she would qualify for that. If she's from the state of Pennsylvania, of course.
Tower City, yeah.
Okay, so, and then we have an honors college. There are scholarships for honors students. And then we have a Raiders scholarship as well. And for a student at that level, she would probably qualify for all of those. So this is a student who financially would be well equipped to attend SHIP. And in addition to that, we would encourage her to apply for other scholarships through the foundation that I'm sure she would qualify for as well.
Just a few weeks ago in this program, we had some admissions directors in talking about what colleges and universities are looking for in a student. As president of the university, what are you looking for? What kind of student? What are the key ingredients or characteristics that a student has that you're looking for to come to Shippensburg University?
Well, of course, we have sort of basic standards, the SAT score, the high school GPA, the rank in class. Those are all things that we consider. But we're also looking for students who want to be successful in college. And so there are some students who are not at the top tier, but are lower tier, but they have what we call grit. And it is grit that will help students that perhaps some don't see as college material to succeed. So we are looking for students who can be successful, and that's the goal. So whether you are a valedictorian or a B student with grit, we want you, and we want to be able to help you have the life that you desire.
How do you measure grit? Is it on the application?
It is not on the application.
Scale of 1 to 10 grit?
Well, you can tell grit. When you talk with these young people, you know the ones who are determined to make it. And sometimes it is so satisfying when you hear the C student who really struggled, but on graduation day has that job offer in hand and is going off, and 5 years later is making a difference in the world. That's what makes our work so fulfilling.
David is back on the line. David, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Scott, for taking my phone call.
Yes.
I went through a dead spot.
Oh, you're on the cell phone. You're in the car.
Yeah, I'm in the car.
Okay.
My daughter was just down there Saturday with her boyfriend to watch the football game. Go Raiders. And it's just a phenomenal school. And from what we have seen, we went through Hobie, the U. O. Bryant Youth Leadership that is held there every year. And it really put Shippensburg on the map for us. My other daughter just graduated from Gettysburg, and I was so impressed with Shippensburg. We've taken several visits. And I guess I just asked about the salutatorian, valedictorian scholarships and was offline, so I did not hear the response.
All right, we'll have a response to you. Thank you very much. You did answer that question, but go right ahead.
I did answer that question, but I also want to comment on the fact that our honors program just last year became an honors college. And an honors college is really a place for students like his daughter who are high-achieving students and really want to push themselves while they're in the university environment. So I would encourage that. An honors college is really a place that provides very high-level academics, but also really encourages students to engage in experiential learning opportunities like undergraduate research and study abroad opportunities that can really broaden their horizons and prepare them for the workplace.
Let's talk about preparing them for the workplace. Obviously, the careers, the jobs of even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, are not the same as they are now and what they'll be 5, 10 years from now. Are there majors that you would like to add? I mean, you just opened a school for engineering. Are there majors you would like to add? And are there some, and I know you probably don't want to talk about this, but that I won't say go away, but don't probably are not preparing students for the jobs of tomorrow, meaning that there aren't many jobs in those areas?
Well, you know, And this is a question that lots of people talk about in higher ed. You know, are there majors that should go away? I can tell you that our faculty, and I'm very proud of the work they do, prepare students for the future. So the idea that if you are And there's been conversation about foreign languages. If you're a foreign language major, then you have no potential for the future. Well, that's absolutely wrong.
I thought you were going to go the opposite way.
You can
with that.
Go into any profession. So a major is a starting point. It's not an end point. And so when folks have those discussions about majors that should go away because they no longer serve a purpose, I just don't believe in that. I believe that an exceptional faculty like the one I have are preparing folks to go into careers in many different venues that may or may not be directly related to their major. If you look at my career, for instance, I was a communications major. I'm now a university president. There's no relationship between the two, but somehow it's working for me.
But the reality is that if students do have majors, that there's not a lot of potential for starting a career or getting a job in that area, it's got to be frustrating. Plus, you have the reality of money, funding. Does it make sense to continue to have a major if it's outdated?
Well, that's a different question, really.
Okay.
So if a major does not have high enrollment, there is a process on our campus, and I'm sure on every campus across the country, where the faculty and the academic department really go through a process of program review to determine whether or not the program is as well enrolled as it should be. And sometimes it's really not about the major. It's about tweaking the program to provide the skills that are meeting the needs, the changing needs. So sometimes it's really not major specific. It's about skills. And so it's not a simple question of a major. It's about what's going on in that major and how that major is able to prepare students for the future. But that's a process that the faculty and the academic affairs folks are on a regular basis working through.
This is a question that you may see, and why are you asking me this question, as a university president? But one of the things that we do hear from employers nowadays, not just in Pennsylvania, but across the country, is they need more skilled workers. That many young people have been told over the years, to be successful, you must go to a four-year university, you must get a bachelor's degree. That's your key to success. In the meantime, there are many jobs that are left unfilled, and we don't have as many skilled workers as what we should. First of all, I don't know whether Shippensburg's in a position to provide those kind of skills. That's one thing. But are there students who would be better off going to an institution to get those skills rather than going to a place to get their four-year degree?
So if you bear with me, I'm going to tell you a story.
Okay. I like stories. That's what we're all about here.
Okay, good. So my father left school after the seventh grade because he had to help his family earn money. And he worked for most of his life in chemical plants. He was a chemical operator. And so that was a skill that he had, and it helped him raise five children and support us, and we were very grateful for the life that we had. When my father had to retire early because of respiratory issues from his skilled labor, he went to college. And he received his degree, first an associate's degree, and what he did with that degree was he went back and he taught. And so what that says to me is that sometimes folks do need a skill for a particular time in life or not a particular time in life, maybe for life. But everyone should have access to higher education if they want it. Education is the great equalizer, and it can be a game changer for folks. Not everyone can access it. Not everyone wants to access it. But everyone should be able to access it if they want to.
When you hear candidates for political office, maybe some who have been elected, talk about free college tuition. Now, a lot of times they're talking about community colleges, or at least that or getting skills, that kind of thing. What do you think? Is that realistic?
Well, it depends on whether or not it's affordable. I don't know that free college tuition can exist at the expense of other things that are essential to a state. But if you look at some of the states who have moved towards free college tuition, a lot of it is packaged around particular salaries of people. So if families make below a certain income, and those families would generally be eligible for particular state and federal programs anyway. So once again, packaging matters, but the cost of that really has to be weighed with the priorities and the fiscal realities of whatever state we're talking about. And in Pennsylvania, that's an interesting dialogue, but is the money there?
Dr. Carter, the state system of higher education is looking inward itself, actually talking about maybe merging some universities or some closing. Since you are a state-owned university, do you have concerns about the future of Shippensburg and the state system?
I do not have concerns about either. The state system is, we have a new chancellor who has come in with a great vision for the system. Where he will take the system, I think, is going to be very positive. And we really just have to wait to see how that plays out. But we have someone who certainly has the background, skills, and experience to move us forward in a way that is going to allow us to be a thriving state system. As for Shippensburg University, I have absolutely no concerns about that because at SHIP, if you have not heard, we are making waves. Waves take us places, carry us to new heights, and are powerful enough to break down barriers, and that's what SHIP is doing.
I saw the what you're drinking out of, or SHIP makes waves. I didn't know that was your, so I guess we'll be hearing more of that, huh?
Absolutely.
Dr. Laurie Carter is president of Shippensburg University. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. We live in polarizing times. Politicians from different political parties with opposing points of view aside, we all probably know even friends and family members who have strained relationships because they disagree. Many don't see eye to eye on questions of faith. That's why this weekend's Harmony Walk in Harrisburg is so remarkable. It brings together people of several religions. Joining us now to talk about the Harmony Walk is the Reverend Cynthia Mara, Interfaith Center of Greater Harrisburg and Interreligious Forum of Greater Harrisburg. Reverend Mara, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Scott.
So let's talk about the Harmony Walk. This is the fourth Harmony Walk. What's its purpose?
Well, it's a celebration of cooperation among religions in the Harrisburg area. So often people are afraid, you know, what they don't know, and maybe afraid of people of other religions. But when people come together, and in the walk together, share a meal together, come to know each other, then that fear dissipates.
So it is more than just a walk. The Harmony Walk is more than just walking together. There are stops, and there are opportunities to sit down and have conversations. What do those conversations look like? What do they sound like?
Well, at each stop, a religious leader shares from the heart about the value of cooperation among the different faiths. And when people are walking along, it's just wonderful. You know, they're getting to know people. You know, they might not have known somebody who's Sikh or Buddhist or Hindu. And like one person said along the walk, she said, "This is the way it should always be."
So what different, you mentioned several, but you have people representing, and I hate to use the word representing, that makes it sound like they've been chosen, but who have chosen to participate from different religions. What religions?
Well, it's Christian, the houses of worship are Christian, Jewish, and Muslim. And then at Olawine Library, we hear from other leaders for instance, Buddhist, Hindu, Baha'i, and it's all, they speak briefly, but from the heart, about the value of all the religions in harmony.
You know, I mentioned in the introduction that we do live in polarizing times, and religion has not been, you know, is not something that is exempt from that. So why is it that we are, it's so difficult for people, and not just, okay, you have an event where you bring people together, but aside from an event that is organized, why is it so difficult today for people to get along, I hate to say put it that way, but to have these kind of conversations where they can agree to disagree? We have different beliefs, but I look at you and don't see you as the enemy.
Yes, exactly. And, well, the hope is with this, that the feeling of harmony will ripple out to the community and the world. But it takes people talking with each other, listening to one another, knowing that we have different beliefs. You know, with this, you know, a Jewish person isn't going to become a Christian person or whatever. Each maintains his or her unique religion, but accepts and sees the value and the beauty in all of them. And I think a lot of it is listening to other people who have different views, or people maybe in the media sometimes you're told to be afraid of, or, you know, maybe I shouldn't put it that way, but just to get to know people and to listen and to talk, I think that's the key.
Well, listening is something that, I mean, I notice it because I do it on a daily basis, where part of my job is listening to what people are actually saying. But I notice that in everyday life, that many people, when they listen to someone, they're thinking about what they're going to say rather than actually listening to what that person is saying and saying, oh, I didn't know that, or I can understand that. They're thinking of how they're going to respond. So it's almost like we need listening skills.
Yes, and maybe it is that when a person is saying something and the other person is thinking ahead, it might be that that person says something like, oh, listen, you know, just to remind the person to be listening might help.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And there are a lot of other things that people could do, too. Eye contact.
Yeah.
You know, that body language that we all have. You can tell when someone's not really listening to you by the tone of the conversation. So let's provide some logistical information here in the last couple of minutes that we have, Reverend Mary. If someone, first of all, where is it? When is it? The Harmony Walk on Sunday.
It starts at 2:00. At Goodwin Memorial Baptist Church at 2447 Green Street. And then we go to St. Paul Episcopal, Wesley Union AME Zion, then the library where we hear of other faiths, or the entrance of the library, and Kesher Israel. And then we end at the Hadi Mosque, where we're invited in to dinner. And it's nice if more people who have differing views or think they do could share a meal together. You know, it's very nice.
And this event, the Harmony Walk, is being held in conjunction with the United Nations International Day of Peace.
Yes.
Obviously, that was chosen for a reason.
It was, it was chosen because when I shared with somebody the idea for Harmony Walk, the person suggested, oh, that would be perfect in conjunction with the United Nations International Day of Peace, because as people get to know each other and get to be less afraid of each other, one would think there'd be more peace in the world.
We only have about 30 seconds left. We had a caller who asked a question. Are atheists welcome?
Yes, everyone's welcome. People of all faiths or of no particular faith. Everybody is welcome.
Reverend Cynthia Mara, Dr. Mara, with the Interfaith Center of Greater Harrisburg and a member of the Interreligious Forum of Greater Harrisburg, talking about the Harmony Walk coming up this Sunday in Harrisburg. Reverend Mara, thank you very much for being with us today.
I appreciate it, Scott. Thank you.
Coming up on Monday's program, and this has a religious relationship as well, but you probably heard about the family of five sisters who were named in that grand jury report of being sexually abused in the Catholic Church by one priest. We'll be talking with those sisters coming up on Monday's program.